We're about to go to Chocolate City.
Let's get it!
The capital of the United States.
Woo! You know, haters are haters, you know. They control the mouth.
Merry Christmas, little man!
Commitment to fucking playing defense.
I'm not eating cat food either.
What's this all about? We're on the kiss cam. I feel a little reluctant to take that.
How sweet.
That pig was really strong.
Look out, Nene and Butler butting heads, looking at each other.
Broadcasting from the capital of the free world, this is Zardcast.
Welcome to Zardcast. I'm your host, C.T. Schwing. Thank you for joining us. Monday, November 7th, 2016, Election Day Eve here in the nation's capital. Give us a follow at Zardcast on Twitter. Subscribe on iTunes, Overcast, Google Play. All that would be excellent. And you can even, a game I like to play, I like to steal people's phones and, you know, type in Zardcast, hit subscribe, and, you know, they're like, oh, what do you do in your spare time? Well, I podcast. You listen to podcasts. So spread the love. That's the way I do it. David Keffer, how do you tell people about the podcast?
I mostly don't.
I figured.
When I do, though, actually, I'm trying to remember the last time that I did.
You're a real good soldier there.
I don't interact with many people that listen to podcasts.
All right.
You're mostly trying to explain, like, first what a podcast is.
It's true.
Why they would listen to anything I have to say.
Okay.
It's also a tough sell.
All right. I get it. Gary Jones on the line with us. At the Gary Jones with a Z on Twitter. How are you, sir? Good to have you back. I can't hear Gary. Oh, my God. This is unbelievable. Oh, my God. I had him muted.
What about now?
There he is. God. I had him muted. Disaster over here, everyone. Just to let you all know, the second time recording the intro, because I didn't hit press record, and then I didn't unmute Gary. So, yeah, that's how our night has gone about as well as the Wizard season's gone. So, Gary, we're elated to have you back in the fold. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Oh, we could hear you the whole time. We just didn't know it.
Oh, cool. Wait, I'm confused, but it's good to be on the podcast.
I had you muted. That's the problem, you know. That big yellow button on my board wasn't a good enough indicator for me, so.
I see. Well, what I was saying was that I typically just spray paint broadcast on public buildings.
That's good.
That's how I try to up our listenership.
You know, you know, I feel like you carry the mantle for both you and Dave. You know, you make up for kind of his lack of spreading the word.
That's an interesting expression, carry the mantle. It's usually a stationary object. Who is carrying mantles?
That's a good point.
And it's like above the fireplace, so hot on the bottom.
Who really wants to carry? Who wants to get their bottom all hot like that? Like, not well, me.
Well, when you phrase it like that, they don't call him Gary Hot Bottom Jones for nothing.
Well, good to have you back, Gary. Sorry, I muted you there accidentally. It's been one of those nights. So, it's not that I don't love you. That's for sure. But you know, much like the Wizards' 1-5 start. Here we are in shambles after another loss, of course. They lose to the Houston Rockets, 114-106. Oh, God. The Wizards, are they dead? I feel like a lot of talk right now. It's really early. It's still early. It's still early. It is early, but at the same time, things are a little bit disconcerting at the moment. Dave. You ran the numbers. They look bad. How bad is it right now? How concerned are you?
I mean, I'm always concerned. I'm like a concerned citizen. Even when they're playing well, I'm still concerned. I don't think... I mean, it's obviously a literally the second worst possible outcome. If you find out they played six games and they won one of them, it's better than if they won none, but it's worse than all the other possible things that could have happened. I don't know, man. I mean, they played one bad team to this point. The rest are pretty good. A lot of weird shit happened. This one was just... it's bad. I mean, I try to be as positive as possible. It's not good.
We established on the last podcast, too, that we generally try and keep it positive over here at Zardcast, and it's it's not really taken. Gary, what are your feels from out there in Glover Park?
Well, it seems like I would think they're better than a 1-5 team. I think they played some tough teams. It is early, but I think they may not be as good of a team as we had hoped, at least the early signs. Kefir, to make you feel better, I support and closely follow two basketball teams, and their combined record is 1-11 after tonight. So at least you don't also root for the Sixers.
You'll have your 196 seconds of Sixers talk later on this evening. So,
well,
you can mark me down to like 184 after that if you want.
Now, I feel like if we get into that, I feel like the two things are sort of related about how you're able to feel bad about one and maybe not the other. But it's very grim right now, I think. But is it really possible that they're worse than last year? How is that possible if they're not even hurt yet?
Yeah, I don't think it's possible. I mean, the bench has been pretty bad, but I mean, it wasn't any good last year either.
Right.
And the starting five is, I think it's a good NBA starting five. And it was as good as it was in the second half of last year when they were not a terrible team.
I think that's what I'm sort of struggling to, and maybe it just is they had a tough start to the season schedule wise. They still have a couple tough teams, Celtics and Cavs, but how could they be worse than last year when they didn't have like the second best player for most of last year was was Gortat, and then Jared Dudley was the third best player on the team for almost the whole season. And they were 500 last year. They can't be worse than that.
Right. And I think I'm still, I mean, we're six games in, but I'm still, I mean, a subscriber to like the coaching change is worth at least two more wins at this point. Like maybe not, but I'll still hang on to that frame of mind. But goddamn, has it been depressing? None more depressing than the sequence to close out this evening, where we knew the Wizards were done, but they had a little last gasp. They get the turnover and whatnot, but then John Wall gets his second technical. He brushes elbows or shoulders with the referee, gets thrown out of the game. I screamed on the couch, "Win it for John!" And then Martian Gortat promptly threw a pass right into a Rockets player. I don't even know who it was, but right into his chest. And that was it. That was all she wrote.
And right after he'd missed two free throws, like 20
yes,
seconds earlier.
That would have made it a one-point game or a one-possession game at that point, right? Yeah.
Maybe. Something I think that like might have taken it from 6-4. I think they were down maybe 6 when he missed two. Yeah, and then Ryan Anderson hit a three immediately after that to put it back up to 9.
But it was kind of the same old song and dance. We've literally seen it in every game, even in their win against the Hawks on Friday. They beat the Hawks on Friday, everyone. Just remember that. They even kind of unraveled there and almost coughed up the game. You know, the Hawks had it cut it down to 2 at one point. They really had to grind out the W. And I mean, I didn't watch the game on Saturday. Dave can detail us a little bit about that, but they played pretty well until the fourth quarter. You know, again here tonight, back and forth affair. And then the Rockets, they had a 12-0 run among many offensive flashes. You know, James Harden come alive late there, but same sort of thing and you know we've talked about the other games on the pod already.
I feel like it's,
can't put it together.
I feel like it's inaccurate to call it the same old song and dance because nobody's singing or dancing. It's like the same old poop and pee.
Oh man, that could be a good episode title.
It's just like, yeah, just the same old, like, drunk guy pooping his pants. It's not, nobody's singing or dancing.
Everyone's just kind of frowning and hoping that he'll leave and go home and clean himself up.
The same old frown and poop.
I keep coming out of these games with the thought, God, I hate that team. Whoever it is they just played, even in the Hawks game when they won. Although I think that is true for the Hawks. But I think it probably says more about the way the Wizards are losing than anything about these teams if they're constantly giving me that feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, and I think it's like you keep seeing some shitty guy keep exploiting your defense, and it's tough to not take that personally. Like, what is wrong with our team that this keeps happening? Yeah.
It sucks. It especially sucks because for at least three quarters tonight, they played pretty good defense on James Harden. They don't really like to defend around the three-point line. The Rockets were basically just chucking things up at will. We saw Trevor Ariza hit a handful of wide-open threes. Buck and Phil reminded us of those glory days when he wore a Wizards uniform, and, you know, there he was wide open. We know he's going to drill him. John and Brad, they played well tonight. Again, John does get tossed at the very end of the game, but, you know, there's only so much they can do. We saw John come out with the bench in the second quarter. That was kind of interesting. The bench actually not really all that terrible tonight. In a previous iteration of this podcast, Dave, you might have mentioned that they did have a positive plus minus, whereas the starters did not. Don't know what it was, but
yeah, I mean,
and the reason we didn't upload that previous iteration was because we tried to do a concept episode where we did the entire thing in Pig Latin, and it was pretty fun to do, but it would just be tough for the listeners, so we just decided to run it back regular.
Yeah,
and all the big wigs in the studio were like, no, you definitely can't put that out there. And
ixnay on the oddcast day. My Pig Latin's still a little bit rusty, another factor in all of that.
And our sponsors weren't having it, so.
Mm-mm.
But yeah, the first time that the bench wasn't what really screwed us there. I think you said Otto played with the bench for a little bit. Actually, yeah, Satoransky, Oubre, and Thornton were all positive when they were on the court, and then every starter was a negative.
Yikes.
Oh, my God. Well,
although I guess, I mean, the Thunder's bench is fucking, I mean, the Rockets bench is really dreadful. Nene, KJ McDaniels, Sam Decker, and Tyler Ennis.
Yeah, that's rough. And I think that was probably one of the more discouraging things about this evening is that their bench sucks so bad. And, you know, this would be the night for, you know, the bench played well enough again, especially going from the third quarter into the fourth. Scott Brooks was able to keep those guys out there for pretty much, you know, four and a half minutes into the fourth quarter. And the Wiz still had a shot to win, which is, you know, pretty much all you can ask for at this point. But to no avail. And
I mean, the Wizards have had a shot to win every single game they've been in with like 3 minutes left. I don't know if that is an indictment, like the team is fucked, or
right.
That maybe they can get it back on the right track. I don't know.
It kind of reminds me of the burglar who broke into my apartment last week. In that, you know, it probably took a lot of planning, and he or she is going to get away with it. But all they took was my coin bank, which had like $20 in it, and my landlord's computer, when there was plenty of other valuable stuff to take.
They took your landlord's computer? Why did your landlord have his computer in your house?
I rent a basement in the upstairs. They were in both. They took her computer and they took my coin bank, which is a pretty cool coin bank. It's Batman, so like I get why they would take it, but it had very few coins in it, and I had other stuff worth taking.
I'm a little reluctant to say this on the air because I know this is going out onto the airwaves for millions of people to listen to. But you can file a renter's insurance claim, and you can say they took any fucking thing you want.
Is that not insurance fraud?
Oh, I mean, it for sure is, but how are they going to prove it?
Just a fun tip for the listeners at home. If you ever get robbed blind, the insurance company,
you know,
will probably take...
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram. Send us a DM me. I'll tell you how to do it.
Zardcast.com for all your tips and tricks.
If only I used a fake name on this podcast, I might take you up on that advice. But since my name's out there, I can't do it.
Yeah, it's, you know, that's the risks you take of being a public figure, Gary. Sorry about your luck. That sounds like a good coin star.
All three of us are trying to audio wink at you right now and just DM us. We'll let you know how to do it.
Is there anything else we want to... This might be kind of an abbreviated pod this evening. Things are bleak in the pod, obviously. Rough start here. Anything else we want to get into on this game?
Oh, I have so many things I want to get into.
Oh, lay it on us, Gary. Lay it on us.
What are the rules on hair contact and foul calls? Because if you have a fro like KJ McDaniels or a big like old school Dr. J style or Ben Wallace style, that seems like it could be a real advantage.
Your question is if you like foul somebody's hair?
Right.
I guess.
I know the uniform is considered body, and I would think hair would be too.
I think so too. I mean, isn't that how it is in the NFL? I know we're talking about...
No, you can tackle by the hair. You're allowed to tackle by the hair in the NFL.
So is your question like Nerlens Noel flat top? If you swipe at his flat top, is that a foul?
Right. It seems like it would be valuable because if you had a really high flat top or a really large afro, and someone was trying to like come over and get a block or anything, it would be harder for them to get around, and you'd have more foulable space.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. I think it might not like be explicitly like part of the uniform or whatever, like part of your body, but I think it's like enough to like trick the referees into thinking that like you were like actually hit rather than just your hair, right?
I think this is one of the times that we're lucky we've got some listeners in the NBA office, the front office, they're recent listeners, but we've heard from them. So I think we'll probably be able to get into it, like hear from them.
They'll slide into our DMs as well. We're going to have so many private messages after this. God damn. What else
so
you got,
you
Gary?
Have the ability to grow that style of hair, and you don't. You just don't care enough.
You think that anyone that doesn't do it just because they don't care?
I think that now, yes.
Wow, strong statement. I don't know, man. I mean, you're a short hair guy. It's a pain to have a whole bunch of hair on your head. Have you ever experienced it firsthand? Do you know what it's like to live with long hair, Gary?
I don't. You're right. I can't put myself in the shoes entirely, but it just Seems like an easy loophole to exploit.
Gary, so we just watched the Wizards lose by 8, and it's pretty clearly, like, fucked our whole nights up. We weren't even able to execute this podcast appropriately. But you just saw the Sixers lose by 25. What is that like?
Who do they lose to?
Sixers.
The Jazz.
Ooh. Jazz. They're having
and they're
like really similar endings to games to the Wizards. They're also like playing some pretty good teams close. Not tonight, obviously, but like they almost beat the Cavs. They almost beat the Thunder. And then they're not closing out games. Except with the Wizards, it's like, oh, they're just not closing out the game. Maybe next time they'll get them. And with the Sixers, you just know for certain that that is not the case, and that they will continue to lose all of these games whenever they're close.
I'm just looking at – I didn't realize that the Sixers' starting backcourt is Gerald Henderson and Sergio Rodriguez. I didn't realize that's what was happening. That's really rough.
Yeah. Well, Jared Bayless is the starter when he's back from injury.
Okay.
In theory, although Sergio's been like the second best player after Embiid. So
did T.J. McConnell get buried? He doesn't play anymore. Or
no, he gets some decent run now, but I don't think he will get too much once Bayless is playing.
I was actually I was listening to a couple NBA podcasts. I jaunted up to Baltimore and listened to some various basketball content on the Mark train up, and it didn't even really occur to me, but the Sixers, obviously they've got Joel Embiid. Ben Simmons hopefully will come back and be a healthy, happy baby for you, Gary. But then they've got Okafor and Nerlens Noel. They could trade one of those guys for like a legit guard. And then all of a sudden, you know, they have a pretty solid core on which to venture off with. I know I'm not breaking new ground with this, but like, I feel like they could put together, I mean, it might have to turn into picks, but they could also maybe grab a guard and, you know, have their little core for the future.
Yeah. Well, that's what, you know, most Sixers fans have wanted for months now, and there's people who want them to trade Okafor, people who want them to trade Noel, and according to the Sixers front office, like, they have been active in trade talks, you know, just in general, and it seems like Noel will be traded at some point, but the fact that they've been working on it since, like, before the draft, and they still haven't made a move, isn't really encouraging as to what that move will finally end up being when it happens.
It doesn't sound like there's had they done it, maybe I feel like there was some talk before last season, Noel for CJ McCollum. That would have been but now it sounds like maybe like Brandon Knight is the best guy you're gonna get. Yeah. But Brandon Knight is a pretty young, I mean, he's only like 25, 26. He's a good player. But it doesn't sound like there's a lot of market there for that.
Yeah, Brandon Knight is better than a pissed off Nerlens Noel who's gonna not play or, you know, not want to play. So it's better to do that than not do that. But it's a bummer how much the tradability has gone down.
Nerlens Noel is really good though. It sucks that he won't be able to. And I mean, I get that he sort of got disillusioned by what happened, but
well, it's tough when you're trying to be a professional basketball player and then Joel Embiid plays on your team, because I imagine it's like if you're a pony and you're just standing next to a horse all day long, like, you just don't compare.
Yeah, but then how do you explain Okafor, who's just like a like the donkey from Shrek? I don't think.
Well, he just doesn't have the wherewithal to understand, I guess.
Because don't you think Noel is definitely better than Okafor is?
Yes.
Okay, then.
But then Saric, I mean, it's a... So who do you think they should keep? All of them except Noel? Do you think they should trade? I mean, I feel like we should, might as well get into the Sixers if we're not going to be able to talk anything positive about the Wizards.
I'm glad that like potential trades for the Sixers is way more interesting than a 1-5 Wizards team. So we're talking about a winless Sixers team too. So this is good. I can just see the downloads rolling in already. This is great. We'll get back to the Wizards in a second. But what camp are you in? Are you in the Noel camp? Are you in the Okafor camp?
I'm in the Noel camp as far as who I like better as a player, but I don't think at this point it's realistic to, like, it's very clear that he's upset and Okafor seems okay with being behind Embiid. I mean, that's just how it looks to the public, and there's no way of knowing if that those, you know, that's actually how Okafor feels, but it seems that way. So at this point, I think you got to move Maryland's. They still have the Lakers pick if it's not top three, which looks like it's not going to be. So they'll have two, like, top 10 picks probably. So more young people to break their feet before the season starts.
I mean, the Lakers look really good. So maybe the Lakers won't even be a top 10 pick.
Man, this Wizards podcast gets more depressing by the second.
Maybe the Wizards will be better. Or maybe the Lakers will be better, too.
Super, super.
I mean, Jordan Clarkson is really good.
Mm.
How great would it be to have Jordan Clarkson on the Wizards?
Mm.
If only we had been able to draft him.
Oh, God. I hate whiffing on draft picks like that. Like,
there was some positive Wizards stuff tonight, and I actually wanted to get your guys' take on this because I've only lived here about 5-6 years, so I don't have much Wizards history expertise. But tonight, John Wall became the leading assister in Wizards/Bullets history. Where would you just talk about, I guess, where Wall lands in the all-time Wizards rankings as far as you guys see it?
I think, honestly, Dave, you had a good take on, I don't know, I'm not sure about where Wall stands. He's probably high in, you know, the pantheon of Wizards players because there aren't that many great ones. But I think it what you had to say about Wes Unseld and the record really hit it on the head.
Yeah, I mean, it is stupid that a center has the all-time assist record for this team. But I do think we should be able to positively talk about the fact that I think John Wall is the best Wizards player I've ever seen.
I was like in second grade when Chris Webber and
Juwan Howard,
yeah, these guys were around. So I mean, that was probably, I mean, Gil, you could throw him in there.
I mean, he
but he was, you know,
I don't think he
kind
ever
flash pan.
I don't think he ever got out of the first round.
Yeah, I mean,
he was never healthy. I think, yeah, Wall is, like, indisputably the best player this franchise has had in 50 years, 40 years.
I mean, at least 20. If you disagree with that or have some other suggestions, at Zardcast, of course. Lines are always open. You can slide in the DMs, too.
I was never a big Gilbert Arenas fan. I feel like it's also more colored by what a huge douchebag he's turned into recently.
He's a real-life Cat in the Hat.
I'm
sorry, what?
He's a real-life Cat in the Hat. He just shows up, like, I think him showing up at Nick Young's house and, like, harassing him and his son, that was, like, what the Cat in the Hat would do. Just, like, running around doing crazy shit and, like, not having regard for anyone. So yeah, I think that's a good way to describe him. But yeah, I mean,
In
the last 20 years for sure, if not 30, possibly even closer to 40, John's got to be at the top of the list.
And we were talking earlier about how good of a guy he's been to the community,
mm-hmm.
which Gilbert Arenas fucking never was, just a shithead all the time. So yeah, John, go bump that referee.
It's nice to have him. You know, he's got, he's secure. You know, who knows how his career is going to turn out in DC, how much longer he'll be here, what kind of success he'll have. But at least his name is in the record books for something. You know, he made his mark somewhere, no matter how, you know, superfluous or irrelevant it might be. He's there. He's in the books.
Yes, I agree. We should be able to be able to just celebrate unqualified. We got to see him do his thing for this long and for at least another couple years.
Yeah. Do you want to play the music for him? You had a big night. Oh. You're still getting used to it. We unleash Dave on sounds.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John was just a boy.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall of the Washington Wizards.
A spectacular circus shot by John Wall. Everybody do it, John Wall. Do it, John
Wall. Do it, John Wall. Definitely is the music for his record night.
Carrie, did you see John bump the referee? What he got ejected for?
Yeah.
So do you think, when I first saw it, I thought it was a pretty bullshit call, but then the more I watched it, I was like, yeah, you can't.
I mean, you definitely can't hit her. I mean, it's pretty soft. Yeah. I'll say that the contact is like...
But he definitely did it on purpose.
Yeah. And it wasn't, I mean...
It looked soft to me but yeah, and he did it on purpose. I didn't. What was his first technical? Is it just one of those things where, like,
because yeah,
I didn't
just,
see that
he was just talking
was
shit.
It just like a they were already, you know, on edge with him, and he pushed
yeah.
them.
I mean, he just ran to the rim and got or thought he got fouled, and I feel like he's been doing that pretty often, and it's worked for him. He's been mm-hmm. getting to the line a lot more. He only shot, I think, 2 free throws all night, which I feel like he should probably be mad about.
Absolutely. And I'm not going to pin this loss on the referees, but I think the refs a little bit tilted towards the Rockets. I don't know what the final foul call was, but I mean, especially in the first quarter, there were a couple times where Markieff Morris was just getting mauled and he just couldn't get anything.
James Harden's always going to win the refs. That's just his game. He's great at it. He is so good.
Yep. And again, depressing to hold him down for 3 quarters and have him do his thing in the fourth to lock it up.
If we wanted to get another uplifting thing, and also, you know, while I got the soundboard cranking, should we honor Satoransky's first start from Saturday, and he looked pretty good tonight?
We absolutely should.
Tommy Fresh getting the music. Yeah, actually, so he played a lot against the Hawks. He got a start on Saturday in place of John. Good to have him out there. Good to see him playing. I mean, Trey Burke is an unmitigated disaster. Who can hardly even see the floor at this point. I mean, it's awful. Like the upshot is old Tommy Fresh getting some run.
He's good. I mean, he reminds me so much of Garrett Temple, I think. He can, like, every once in a while, like, dive into the rim. He's got a weird little floater that works. He picks off a lot of passes by being more like athletic than I think people expect, and just bigger. Just never fucking play Trey Burke again.
We're saying nice things here, but the Wizards did lose that game 88-86. No John. Evidently he's not playing back to backs for the foreseeable future, which makes sense. I always feel funny, like, this came out that he wasn't going to play, and like they're like, oh yeah, he's not playing back to backs anymore. But I feel like I should know. Like, they should have been more upfront with me. Like, I need to know. Like, why didn't I know this? Like, this is such an obvious thing. I'm not even mad about the fact that he's not playing, but I just wanted to know.
You know what though? I was thinking when Scott Brooks said it, Randy would never have told you until it already happened. if he ever had the idea to do something like that, which he wouldn't. You would never hear about it, and then after the game, like, Michael Lee would be like, so why did you decide to keep John out? And he'd be like, that's not really any of your business. But I
think John will play when he can play, and tonight he couldn't play. So what else, what do you want me to say?
Right. I love that Scott Brooks is doing new stuff with the lineup, and that he I just love that he's not such a grumpy dickhead with the media all the time, and that he just talks to them and tells them what's happening.
It's not the same old frowns and shits.
At least on that front. Unfortunately, Saturday's loss did end the Wizards' 12-game winning streak against the Magic. I suppose, if anything, I'm kind of a subscriber to due theory. I mean, the Magic were due. You can't. It's almost. Is there any other team that has had a streak like that over another team? Like I don't know offhand, but it seems quite lucrative and unlikely that something else like that exists in the NBA.
And the Magic are trash anyways.
Oh, the NBA. Because they got that Globetrotters and General streak. That's been going for a while.
That game, though, they played well enough. Again, just kind of the wheels fell off in the fourth quarter. Kind of a late game collapse, no showish thing. What, did the Magic go on like an 18-0 run in the fourth quarter?
It was something wild.
Something crazy like that.
I was at a party. I looked down. They were up 9. I looked up. They were down like 4 or 5. And
the three of us were texting about the game. Can you, Dave, tell us, can you describe in your own words how you laid it on the text, that last play, that missed Markieff Morris 3?
Let me see. And you know what? I felt extra bad because I was in the middle of a conversation with some people that did not at all care about the Wizards game, which is understandable. And
so that's like most conversations you have in life.
Yeah, almost all of them. But I made them turn around. I was like, oh, there's 0.8 seconds left. Something cool is about to happen. And then it went to commercial. So it was like an awkward pause. And let's see. I said, oh, Markieff had the best look you could ever hope for. Otto threw him a beautiful gift, and he pooped all over it.
Poops and frowns.
And, Schwenk, you just watched it, and isn't that what happened?
Yeah, he pooped all over himself. He did play well that game.
He did.
Which, you know, it sucks to, you know, not have him be able to close it out, but it's an open 3, game on the line. You got to hope that he makes it, but alas. Afterwards, Brad calls out the bench, which seems slightly crazy to me. I guess, you know, maybe he's trying to take that leadership role on the team and, you know, rattle some cages, but he didn't even really play that well. And, you know, he's been fairly inconsistent over these first 6 games, so is he in a spot to even call other people out at this point?
I never want to be like, I feel bad even doing it now. Like, I don't want to be like, you shouldn't talk like this because you're overpaid. I feel like that's like a shithead fan idea to have.
Right. But, not your money. Who cares?
Yeah. But man, you're averaging like 12 points a game, and you're the highest paid guy on the team. You have to do more than that, and until you do, I feel like you should just not say anything ever.
Yeah, I agree.
Earlier, when you were asking, is it possible to be worse than last year? Mm-hmm. I didn't really want to say this then because it was too. We were getting pretty down, but then we had, you know, our couple uplifting moments. So I'll say it now. My thought when you asked that was, it is possible if the dude we're counting on to make us better than last year doesn't play very well. And I feel like that's Bradley Beal. So if you combine that with a terrible bench, a worse bench, and Bradley just not being that much better or that great, it is possible.
How can that happen, though? Like, why? How can he be worse?
I don't think he could be worse. I mean, like, if the bench is way, way worse, And then, I don't know, the factor that you would say brings us back up would be Beal, and then maybe not if...
But I mean, don't think that's the case. He didn't even really play last year.
When the question was posed, could they be worse? That was what popped into my head.
But he didn't even play last year. So the only way he could make them worse is if he's a below-average player in the NBA. Are you saying you think that is the case?
I don't think it's the case. And no, so the team would be worse if... I think the bench difference this year to last year is huge, and that having Brad all season could potentially be less of a difference than that bench difference is, and it'd be a net negative on the team.
That's some solid reasoning there. I don't know if it'll shake out to be correct, but I like where your head's at.
Now,
I hope it's wrong.
When they do the autopsy on this podcast, I'd be like, oh shit. This guy explained how it ends right there.
Pod number 4.
But you know what?
Season finale.
Otto had 20 points, so maybe Otto will just play like a max player and it'll be fine.
Free agent Otto. He keeps rolling. Let me pull up his...
Otto is rolling. He was my highest scoring fantasy player tonight so far.
He had 10 and 13 on Saturday against the Magic. Pulled off 20 and 8 this evening.
Damn. So that means he is averaging like almost 10 rebounds a game. He's probably averaging like 15 and 8 right now.
Mm-hmm. He only scored 8 on Friday against the Hawks. Let me pull his, he's averaging about 13 and 7 at the moment.
So I guess when, Ted was complaining about how he pays too much rent for the Verizon Center. I guess that's his. Gary, did you read about that?
I saw the headline many times and chose not to read it to just not anger myself.
So maybe this will be his preemptive, I can't afford Otto. Because if he keeps playing like this, there's no chance he's not going to get a max contract, right? If he averages like 15 and 8 or 9.
Yeah, probably.
3 assists a game, that's like Chandler Parsons, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I guess if we want to discuss Ted's take from last week that he decided to share in the Washington Post, which... as the Wizards continue to lose, his timing could have been possibly worse. He complained about having the worst deal in all of North American professional sports with how much he pays for the mortgage on the Verizon Center. I guess he said he was losing 30, 40 million a year. And basically, very veiledly, but I think most of us can read through the lines that he was like, DC, throw me a bone, or I might have to have a conversation with Maryland or Virginia. Which, I mean,
what a piece of shit.
I feel like we could get into we could talk about this for an hour, but first of all, the District of Columbia just gifted him a new practice facility that he's basically paying nothing for. I think the city doled out like 50 million or something. He's paying like 5.
And
it's just baffling me.
Nobody
man.
Goes to Wizards games in DC. You think anyone is going to go to a Wizards game if you put the stadium in Virginia?
Right. And like, all he's clearly worried about is what his bottom line is and what he's paying. You know, like he just wants a better deal for himself. He's obviously not really interested. And he said that he's going to pay it off in what, like 3 years or something. Like, why not just leave it be and, collect. I mean, he's going to pull in all the revenue after that. Like, come on, man. And then, you know, the Wizards suck and the Capitals are chokers. And like, what do you worry about the teams, bro? Worry about the teams. I feel like I'm out of fight tonight. I feel like when I read it, if we jumped in the pod, I would have like screamed for 30 minutes. But now I feel defeated, honestly.
We would have had to warn people to turn down their headphones.
Yeah. I would have put it through, I got a leveler machine here. So, you know, the volume doesn't get too loud if I start screaming, but yeah.
You know what we did that helped, though, is that we did the first few minutes and we didn't even record it. So we just got all of it out of our system.
And then we watched something really important.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We've yet to discuss a Wizards win on this podcast this season, but let's get into the most important thing on the podcast we'll discuss. Planet Earth 2. It's around the corner. I don't know exactly when it comes out, but a little clip on the internet today. I mean, it was, Dave, you were like, did you see it? I said, no, I might have seen like a, you know, something on Twitter today. Didn't actually click on the video. I said, what do I search? You just said lizards and snakes. It'll be the first thing on the internet. And lo and behold, it was. And it was an iguana running away from snakes. Just type in lizards and snakes and it'll come up. Harrowing, to say the least.
I think that it's not even on, so it's just on like the BBC, and I don't think it's on American TV until like January or something, which is really bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Those damn the Brits always get everything first.
The only thing that's not bullshit about that is by January, it's possible the Wizards will be terrible, and we won't talk about them anymore, but we could still do Zardcast and just talk about lizards.
Well, I think, yeah, I think that is a good idea, and I think what we might have to do, depending on how, man, I'm just watching the highlights of this game, we might just turn this into a general NBA and YouTube video podcast, and we'll just cover the team that beat the Wizards and then the most popular YouTube video every night.
Well, I think we should definitely carve out large segments to review and discuss every new episode of Planet Earth 2. I think that should be high on our list to knock out. And you know what? Maybe, you know, if the Wizards, if things are really over by the end of November, we can just dive into Planet Earth 1 and just start breaking it down from there to prep everyone for it.
You
remember when that leopard was running on the side of the mountain?
How could I forget? Majestic.
Man, that was good.
You know what? The Wizards cannot possibly be done by the end of November. The schedule is brutal, but they have the easiest schedule. They're like the second easiest and the third easiest in December and January. So I think no matter what happens here, they're going to be able to turn around.
Let's quickly gloss over the only win of the season, and then maybe we can look ahead to hopefully, I mean, the last batch of difficult games for some time here. So the Wiz, they did eke out a win last Friday at home against the Hawks, 95-92. Brad has a nice night. He drops 28. Him and John, they both have a solid third quarter, and they actually combined for 33 of the team's 47 second-half points. As we said before, Satoransky finally getting some run. He's playing with Beal and John. But again, a nail-biter, almost blew it. Hawks whittled the lead down to 2 in crunch time, but they were able to pull it out. And oh man, it was laborious to watch for sure. I mean, the offense looked stagnant at times, stagnant and super disjointed. I mean, they had a ton of turnovers. I think John had 9 on the night, despite all of his good work. So really, just, you know, another sloppy one, another one that they almost let get away from them in the fourth quarter. Compared to all the other games that they've played. So good times, everyone.
I wish I had a sound drop of when that lunch lady in Billy Madison goes, I made him extra sloppy for
you. You know, I'll make a note. That
yeah, and so everybody, that, everybody just pretend that I played that sound drop.
Do you want to do it again just for effect?
No, I think I nailed it the first time.
Okay. So, you know, I take notes throughout the podcast just to know when to make some cuts, some edits. We need an extra sloppy soundbite, and we also need a soundbite of me botching the score last time as well. Put those in the old iPhone. Okay.
Looking so what are you guys' election plans tomorrow?
You know what, Gary? We formulate a pretty good one. So, unfortunately, this establishment, the Garrison on 8th Street, Barracks Row, as it's called commonly in D.C., the Garrison, it's kind of a fancy joint, but they have $2 beers all evening in their happy hour menu in full effect for the night. So I think we're going to hit that up.
Sorry, this is an advertisement on YouTube.
Oh, my God. This pod is... This is... We've done some fine work already in the season. This definitely not going to make the highlight reel. It's a good try, though.
I don't know what you're talking about. This has been great.
What about you, Gary? Any election day plans? You want to join us down here? I know it's kind of a hike, so...
Just, you know, voting.
Yeah, voting for sure.
Vote. And then, you know, I don't know. I don't really. I do have plans, just not firm ones. And then also, I think we should leverage sponsorships out of these places we visit and talk about them after, maybe. Mm. You know, I don't, like, Garrison just got so much free advertising.
Craziness. Yeah, I know. That's going to be a flood. I mean, now, you know what? This was a mistake on my part because now I'm not even going to be able to eat my dinner in peace. You know, it'll be nice to convene with the Zardcast crew, you know, when I'm having drinks. But, you know, if you see me eating dinner with my girl, just I'll be ready to chat once I'm done. Okay. Just let me get some food in my belly.
You're talking like there's going to be a bunch of people come up to you like, oh, hey, I love the Zardcast.
I mean, that's what sometimes it happens, Dave. Like,
everybody wants to rub elbows with the pod god.
Ain't that the truth? Huh. It's a heavy, heavy cross that I carry, you guys. You're lucky you guys hide in the shadows of anonymity. I really put myself out there. All right, gents. Let's look ahead here quickly. The schedule. So we're coming at you early in the week. They got Boston at home on Wednesday, the Cavs at home on Friday, and then a back-to-back at Chicago, which we now know that John doesn't play in back-to-backs at the moment. So a hot Chicago team there. That is a really damn tough three-game slate. I think they might be able to beat Boston at home. And you know what? They've beat Cleveland at home several times throughout the LeBron James era. So it's not crazy. I mean, really, it's just a matter of putting four quarters together. At Chicago, I think on Saturday will be a far taller task.
I think Chicago is they're right now like the top or second best shooting team in the league.
Right.
Which is obviously unsustainable. No one on that team can shoot. I think they're just, they have to stop hitting threes at some point, right?
Mm-hmm. Hey, though, what better team to drill a bunch of threes against than the Washington Wizards, who don't like to play three-point defense? Yeah. Or any defense at all.
But you know what? The Wizards have beat the bricks off the Heat a few times that I can remember. Like Dwayne Wade, Dave mm-hmm. Will. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, they can beat. The only team I've never seen them beat is the Celtics.
Yeah, that's true. And you know what? As we saw against the Magic, I mean, the Wizards played the Celtics close in every game last year. I mean, they were all just battles.
No, I think maybe not all of them, but fucked them up a couple times. Like,
all right, there were some battles in there.
Yeah.
Okay. so that you know, they could.
I mean,
I got nothing, you guys. I'm so defeated right now. What do you think, Gary? This 3-game stretch. What's your record prediction?
2-1.
Ooh. I'm going 0-3. Sorry.
It just feels like one of those 3-0 kind of weeks that the Wizards are always just reeling off a 3-0 week.
That's their MO.
Uh-huh.
You know, just win streaks. Well, hopefully, you know, they got to get over this hurdle. The next 2 games after that, they got the 76ers the following Wednesday, and then the Knicks. So the sun's going to rise, boys, maybe.
And then it's the Suns.
Yeah, there we go. All right.
It'll be okay.
I think that's a good place to stop here, boys. Do we have any final parting shots before we get out of here?
Maybe this like isn't what we should spend all our time thinking about and watching.
It's an idea.
So, to everybody out there, maybe you're just wasting your life right now.
I guess the only other, I think the counterweight to that is, what else in life is really worth? I mean,
that's another.
I like watching
excellent
hoops.
Point. Yeah.
You know what? I watch a lot of. You know, my teams suck on most fronts. So, just you know what? Better advice to that: just balance it out by watching some good basketball. You know, and enjoying it too, even if it's not your team.
Yeah, just mix in some fun stuff, some Thunder games, some just like high scoring. Just watch the Western Conference, you know, when you're not watching the Wizards.
Yeah. And we're all going to die pretty soon anyway, so.
And you know what, everyone? College basketball comes back this Friday. I know you guys are big CBB fans, so. More things to
comedy
get
bang
excited
bang?
About.
We are big Comedy Bang Bang fans.
Comedy Bang Bang! Comedy Bang Bang! All right. I think that does it. At Zardcast. Gary, you got any more things to say over there? Reporting live from Glover.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Downcast, Podbay.
Google Play. Whichever you may use. Zardcast.com.
Amazon Kindle.
Yeah.
Kindle Fire.
Anything that has apps, I guess, is where you can find us, so. Okay. Well, hopefully next week we'll be more
Fridays, TGIF, with appetizers.
Ruby Tuesdays, even. Outback Steakhouse. Potential sponsors there as well, so. All right. This has gone on too long. For my co-hosts, David Keffer, the Gary Jones, I'm CT Schwenk. That was Zardcast.